It was good. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but Megan has written two original songs in the last 6 weeks that she's brought to the house. Which one did you do? Which one did you do?
Wasn't today.
Last week? The last 2 weeks.
2 weeks before.
I know she's done some good. You wrote that one? Okay. Okay. I love that she, though I was talking to her about it last week, that she is listening to the Lord for this body, for this church family. When she's going to write music, she's asking God, God, what do you have for Oak River to sing? I mean, that's powerful. Well, I can't think of the name of the last week one that you did. And I remember the line. It was so good and it stuck with me for days. You're the one who holds it all. That's the one. That's the one. That's the one I was thinking of. Yep. But I did think you wrote this one too. That's awesome. You are. I mean, you're that good. I know that.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. That's probably what I was thinking. You are. Yeah. Okay, awesome. Well, today we're going to continue to live in awe as we're going to do every day this year, to live in awe. But this month we're focusing on living in awe of the Son. And the title of today's message is His Cause and Effect. And I'm preaching half and you're preaching half. I'm excited about that. If you're not getting our emails, you can sign up by filling out one of those beautiful, colorful cards over there on top of the offering box and just say, I want the weekly email. It comes out once a week. It's not a big thing, but it keeps you in the loop about everything. So I'm going to chat first about his cause, about what Jesus specifically stated that his mission was when he came to earth. And before I talk about that, can I just say how much I love having my son and my daughter-in-law and my grandkids joining us? I mean, that little chunk of hunk of love right there, you just want to pinch those cheeks. They're so sweet. Thanks. I'm happy you're here too. So what did Jesus specifically say was his mission when he was on earth? He didn't keep it in the question, okay? And he said a lot about it. I could have preached a 5-hour message literally just about what he said he was here to do. But I'm not going to. I'm going to keep it short so you can share. He said he came to seek and save the lost. I'm going to narrow it down to a couple here. He came for those who know they are sick or in need of him. Okay? He came to give life and life to the full. He came to serve and give his life a ransom. But he also said some hard things that we don't like talking about. He said he did not come to bring peace, but division. Oh, wait. What? He said that. I didn't say it. He said it. I'm just telling you what he said, because I don't know if I would have said that, right? And I think he actually said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. But we know that Jesus never picked up a physical sword, so we believe most theologians say he was talking about division. Because when you bring any hard truth, it will cause people to divide. That doesn't mean we hate someone we disagree with. That means there will be division. And it's not because we want it. It's the nature of truth. It challenges. It confronts. I'm not going to go into that. That's not my point. But I did want to include it. He also said he came to bring a fire to the earth. Most people think that he was talking about a fire of consecration, where what needs to be burned up will be burned up, and what needs to be purified will be purified and brought forth shining as gold. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about two other statements he made about his cause on earth. The first statement came immediately after his 40 days of temptation in the wilderness. So you know he came out hot. Burning up with the power of God. Like, if you've ever been through something hard, afterwards, you are on fire for the Lord. You are absolutely on fire. Luke 4, 16 through 21, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, says, when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. Most people think that it was because he asked for that in advance, but whether or not, that's what happened. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. So he actually searched for the place he wanted to read. And he said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. "The scripture you have just heard has been fulfilled this very day." He was saying, "I am the one who has been sent to do all those things. I am the, that's my mission. That's why I'm here." It's interesting, though, and very significant that he stopped before finishing the verse. He literally stopped in the middle of the sentence. when he said that the time of the Lord's favor has come, the way that sentence finishes, "and the day of God's anger against their enemies." And he stopped before saying that. Very interesting. If you're a deep thinker, think on that for a while. It's very, very interesting. I like that. So he says, here is my mission. Point A, Jesus publicly declared his cause. Point A, good news to the poor. That word poor means one who crouches or cringes, a beggar. Of course, if you have lack of any kind, whether it's physical or spiritual or mental or emotional, whatever it is, if you're crouching and cringing for any reason, Jesus came to give you good news. That was part of his mission. Jesus is the answer for every question. He is the answer for every problem. He is. He also said, point B, that he came to bring release for the captive prisoner. I couldn't decide which word to use, so I used both. Captive prisoner. And that word means he came to discharge those who have been taken as prisoner of war. He came to release them who've been taken prisoner of war. Now, he's talking about a spiritual war, not a physical war. He's talking about if you feel like you're being held captive for any reason, Jesus came to set you free. Point C. He came to open eyes to the blind. This word blind actually means, and literally means, smoky, misty, or darkened. So that could be a physical blindness, and it could also be a spiritual blindness. I don't know if you've ever had a situation in your life where you feel like you can't see it clearly. And you're like, oh, I can't see it clearly. I have. And when I do, I say, Jesus, you promised to open my eyes, so I need to see this the way you're seeing it. And he helps me in that way. And until he shows it to me, I don't make a decision and I don't make an assumption. I don't make the assumption that God has forsaken me, and I don't make a decision because I'm not seeing things clearly until he shows me. And then point D says he came to bring freedom to the oppressed. You set the songbird free, right? Oh, I love that line so much. Oh, that speaks to me. That speaks to me so much. Because without Jesus, we're all caged in. We're all caged in. But as soon as we have Jesus running our lives, it's like he opens that door and we can sing and we can fly. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. This means remission for the bruised or the broken. Oppressed means bruised or broken. So if anything has caused you in this life to be bruised, anything, or broken, whether it's something you did or something someone else did. Jesus says, I want to offer you remission. You know what remission is, right? When someone who's had cancer goes into remission, we celebrate. And we call it as permanent. We're like, yes, that person's in remission. This is what Jesus says about being bruised and broken. You are in remission. But it's permanent. It's not temporary. Yes. I love it. I love it. The last passage I'll look at, because I really want to leave time for you guys, is Matthew 5, 17 through 18. Jesus said, don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So he wanted to make clear that his followers would not be under the old system, because Jesus would fulfill them. He would fulfill everything. Okay? And on top of that, we would get his laws put in our hearts. We would get them written on flesh inside instead of on stone tablets. But I don't think that means Jesus was chucking the Ten Commandments. That's not what I think. Because 9 out of the 10 are repeated in some form or fashion in the New Testament after Jesus came. Anybody know which one was not repeated? Call it out if you think you know. Surprise me. Thou shalt not keep the Sabbath. Or keep the Sabbath holy. That's not listed in there. I know. Shocking, right? I think it's because we get to keep the Sabbath every day. We get to live in the Sabbath. We are invited to rest in his finished work every day of our lives. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. All the days. All the days. That's just my thought. But I don't think they're given in the New Testament to avoid punishment, because Jesus has already taken our punishment. They're given to show us what godly living looks like. That's all. It's not like if you do this, you're good. If you do this, you're bad. No, this is what godly living looks like. And when I see godly living on someone else, it challenges me to step up and live higher. That's all. It doesn't put guilt or shame on me. I'm like, oh, I can live like that. Okay. And it just brings me up to a new level. I love that. So Jesus publicly declared his cause. Good news to the poor, release for the captive prisoner, open eyes for the blind, freedom for the oppressed. But what was his effect? Well, that's your part. Because I want to hear from some of you, at least. If you don't, I'll just talk all day. Just saying. I have a lot I could say. I want to hear from some of you of how, in 2 to 3 minutes, how Jesus has changed your life. What has been the effect of Jesus on your life? Who's going to go first? Come on. Somebody's going to talk, right? Y'all want to hear me all day? Really? Okay, Gail.
I'm kind of non-traditional. Oh, I have to talk.
Hi.
I can hold it if
okay.
You prefer.
Hi. Well, first of all, y'all know the super condensed version of how this was not going to be part of my life till I realized, Taya, that Jesus is not separate from nature. And I have beautiful things that, if you're ever interested, once I learned that, and I also found out that you don't have to try to, like, find it and connect to it. You just listen. You open and listen. And it comes in all kinds of interesting ways. And what it does for me, which I was surprised about, is no matter how dark things seem or how difficult or how whatever, I haven't read The Lion, Witch, in the Wardrobe in a long time, but there's always like this wardrobe and this really beautiful like, it's the mystery that Dave talked about, mm-hmm. but there's always like this light mm-hmm. in this space that's not, it's not separate from here, but it's not just what you see
yes.
here.
Yes.
And it lifts me, you know, and I'm not articulating
that's his
it
effect
that well,
on, no, you
but
are.
Yeah, am I okay?
You absolutely are. That's his effect on you.
Yeah. It just, there's always this beautiful kind of lifting of this mysterious kind of beautiful, wonderful, and I think of it as why I live in Advent all the time. Mm-hmm. So this little light that's always there no matter
Amen.
What.
Amen. That's yeah, beautiful. So. Thank you. It's awesome. Thank you. Okay, who's next? She broke the ground. She broke the ice. Okay, Raj.
So Lily nudged me just now. She said, you should go. And I was like, oh, dang it. She's been listening to the Holy Spirit. So, because I was thinking about this. And it's for me, it's really simple. It's just, and some of you may remember me from 20 years ago. Some of you may not. But I would say that the way that I approach life now is very much peace orientated. Like it's, I have a peace. I have a calmness when we travel, when we do things, when we make decisions. Like it's not, it's just not that serious. Which sounds like kind of flippant to people in some ways. Like he just doesn't care. It's not that I don't care. It's just that I don't get as ruffled as I used to. So there's a lot of peace and there's a lot of freedom in that. And just knowing like you're, the consequences of your decisions are different when you have Jesus in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
So.
That's good.
There you go.
I love it.
Yeah. That's good. Is Holly moving up here? Yay! Holly Holiday.
I am Holly Holiday. Okay. There's not enough hours or days for me to tell you all the Lord has done in my life, so I'll just tell you what he did this morning because it's significant, and I'll try to get through it. But I've been very depressed lately, and I hate it. I hate feeling this way. It makes me feel like God's not doing anything, and he is. And I'm just like, what is my problem? And so that was my question for him this morning is, what is my problem? You know, because like you said, when it's hazy and misty and you're like, what is going on? You know, you have to show me because I'm not seeing it. Mm-hmm. And so he said, my child, you're living in hopelessness without hope. You see no end to your unhappiness, stress, failures, limitations, etc. I said, how do I get my hope back, Lord? And he said, flip the script. Speak in faith. Speak faith, power, and my love over the things that you feel are hopeless. Let me work my magic. Stand back and watch me deliver you. And so I don't feel it yet, but I'm like, I'm standing in that truth, you know, that he's going to do this because he's done so many other things for me that I haven't told you guys about because it would take too long. So anyways, that's it.
Your faith is beautiful. You know, that's what faith is, right? It's stepping into the place where you assume the truth before you feel the truth. That's faith. That's what it is. But I really feel called to pray for anyone who's battling depression right now because of this testimony. And I think that word was for Holly, but it was also for you. So if you feel brave enough, put your hand up and somebody around you will pray with you and say, I am struggling with depression. Somebody put hands on whoever has their hands raised. Okay, God, I thank you that you are bigger than depression, that your love is stronger than depression. God, I thank you for this promise you have given Holly to flip the script and then step into that place as if it's already happened before you feel it. And so, God, I pray that you would give courage to the one who's battling depression, the ones who are battling depression. And I pray that you would help them to know that you would remove those scales that's making everything hazy. You promised open eyes for the blind. So we step into that this morning, and we ask you to reveal how to flip the script in a way that is faith-filled, not hopeless. In Jesus' name, amen. God's going to do it. He's going to do it. Okay, Matt. Yay.
So I'm Matt Holliday, and it you have no idea how much it impacts me to see my wife say that, because my testimony is that I suffered from depression for 20 years, from the age of 14 to the age of 34.
Wow.
I can count several instances where God stayed my hand from taking my own life during that time.
Wow.
However, I can say, and I can to say how significant this was, it was November 2nd, 2008. It was a Sunday. You can look it up on your phone to make sure that I'm right about that. God set me free from this, and it wasn't because I went to counseling. It wasn't because I was taking medication. It wasn't because I did anything right. I had actually given up. I'd stopped asking people to pray for me.
Wow.
I'd stopped praying for deliverance for myself for this. But since November 2nd, 2008, I know the difference between what it's like to live with depression and what it's like to live not having depression anymore. There are still hard days sometimes, but it is different. So anybody that doesn't believe God can do this, God can absolutely do this.
Amen. Amen. That's beautiful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. That's good. That's good. Okay, Rhonda.
Yeah, this is about you, so. So can
Yay,
I
Rhonda.
And I'll say amen. I was, you know, I had suicidal thoughts from 2 years old. And I had them for a long time. So I just want, that's not part of my testimony. That's, well, it is, but Jesus totally took that away from me. Anyways, I don't want to die right now. So that's good. I'm getting old, so I'm like, okay, Lord, one more day. Yay. anyways, mine is the effect that hit me last night. I was actually reading a journal that I had started when Doug, 6 years ago, got a really bad cancer diagnosis, like really bad. They were not saying anything good to us. And so I just picked up my journal before bedtime, and I was reading all these prophetic words and prayers that people had given us for Doug. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, all those came to pass. There must have been like 30 of them in there. Every one came to pass. And at the time that we were given those things, it did not look that way at all. So the effect that's really been hitting me today is he brought the supernatural into my life. Like, I was always scared of like all that weird stuff. You know, my friends would do Ouija boards. I'm like, no, let me leave the house, you know. But the supernatural power of God is what has, like, changed my life. And I just had a reminder this morning that any time we're worshiping, we're in the Holy of Holies.
Yes.
And it's a place to expect the supernatural, not just for me, but for everyone in this room.
Amen.
So that's an effect I've had from Jesus.
That's beautiful. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Okay, Taya. Brave girl. Oh, I'm going to cry for sure.
Oh, Jesus. God is so good. I found Jesus when everything in my life felt like it was completely stripped away. Like there was absolutely nothing left other than the strings of my own, you know, my family and my children and my husband. But I lost my mom in the end of 2024, and it was completely unexpected. And I remember I actually had a phone call with you mm-hmm. where I said, I just need Jesus to come into my heart. And how could somebody that has went through all of these different things and has sinned, unbelievable amounts, and it's just been a crazy wild day, how could I ever be worthy of going and welcoming something so vast and amazing yeah. and life-saving into my heart? How could I ever be deserving mm. of that? And Sandy said, well, all you got to do is just ask. Just say, Jesus, please save me. Come into my heart. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And from that very moment, something happened where it wasn't just me anymore. Mm-hmm. The weight of the world wasn't just on my shoulders anymore. Yeah. There was a light in the darkest of rooms.
Yeah.
And to be able to reach out and to grab that light and to know I can fall at my Father's feet and say, Lord, please help me, deliver me from this.
Yeah.
It is the most life-changing, fulfilling, otherworldly, supernatural feeling yeah. that you will ever have. And knowing that, my mom walks in the kingdom of heaven now and
yeah.
to have that reassurance of, that forgiveness, that love, that peace,
yeah,
mm-hmm. it is amazing, and I thank Jesus every day, and mm-hmm. I thank my mother-in-law so much for helping me find the Lord.
Amen. I remember that phone call well, because Taya called and she said, I think I just want to ask Jesus into my heart. How do I do that? And so I started telling her, but I didn't think she was going to copy me right there on the phone. But I loved. I was like, well, all you got to do is say something like, Dear Jesus. And I was getting ready to say the next thing. And she goes, Dear Jesus. And I'm like, oh, we're doing this now. Which I love that about her, because once she makes up her mind, get out the way. So that's a precious thing. Precious, precious thing to me. Woo. Amen. I'm glad you heard that, Max. Anybody else? That's good. Okay. Going once, going twice. Turning off the mic. We can turn it back on if we need to. I'm just saying. I will tell you just quickly the effect Jesus has had on my life. But it's more process than I think most, well, maybe than some, I'll put it that way. Some people have, like Taya, had one experience, and she's still in process, I don't mean that, but we're all in process. But I mean, she just became like a new person overnight. For me, I got saved at such a young age, I had to learn what it looked like to fully surrender my life to Jesus. So it's really more process for me than event. That's why I used to love when Dave would say his date of when he became a new person. I'm like, I have no idea. I was 3 years old. I really don't know. But I know that God touched me here, and I know that God touched me here, and I know that God touched me here. But the biggest thing has already been said. He's brought peace into my life. He is my anchor. It doesn't mean I don't have problems. It doesn't mean that. It means I have something to hold on to that's unshakable in the middle of it. No matter if there's an earthquake this week and a meteor. It doesn't matter. If the high is 75 and the low is 15, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because we have an anchor that we can hold on to. And with that anchor comes peace and life to the full and joy and mission, purpose. Oh my goodness, such purpose. That's how he's changed my life, really. And I feel like we can't hear these stories without it building faith in you. It's impossible. It's impossible. So if there's anyone here today that you would like to make Jesus your Lord, maybe you ask him into your heart, but you didn't really make him the boss. You know what I mean? If that's the case, he's not bothering me at all, but you do what you got to do. I understand. I love his little cry. I think it's so sweet. If you would like Jesus to be your boss, if you would like to surrender the details of your life to Him, if you agree that He knows what He's doing and you don't all the time, if you agree that He has full light and you are misty sometimes, if you agree with that, I want you to be brave today and stand up. You don't have to. I'm just saying, if you're going to do this, you might as well go all in. Instead of be like, well, I think I know the Lord. You know, just be brave. Anybody want to do that today? Stand up. On the count of three. One. Renewed. Amen. Renewed. One, two, three, go. Yeah, awesome. Okay, everybody pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I understand your cause. I have heard stories of your effect. You offer me your better and higher way of living. I have seen that living my way does not lead to full life, but you offer healing and wholeness for my spirit, my mind, my soul, and my body. I say yes to you. I give you all of me. I renounce my old ways and will follow you from this day forward. I receive your love and surrender my heart to you. Amen. Woo! Yeah. Yeah. That is good stuff. I'm like you, Betty. I want to renew all the time. I do. I'm like, God, maybe I got some crust on me yesterday. Get it off. You know, really, really. Whew. Okay, I can turn the mic back on, Betty.
I don't need that.
I would like it if you would use it only because we'll get it on the recording. Thanks for cooperating.
Okay. I just want to say, all last couple days I've been thinking about that email. You know, it would take about 6 months at least to hit a few good spots. But Jesus is everything.
Yes.
And I've been very ill for about 3 or 4 weeks. Mm. I'm the best I've ever been is today.
Wow.
And I was determined to come. So I just want to say the last 3 days since I've been feeling better, for no reason, I'm walking around my house by myself singing.
Wow.
I have no idea what's coming out of my mouth.
Wow.
Okay, Jesus, I love you. And I mean, it wasn't always Jesus. I was just singing.
Wow.
Now, first of all, you don't ever want to hear me sing. My choir teacher at the age of 10 said, "Hum, Betty." And that's the truth. But I just realized today, I thought, that's the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
And being sick and thinking all that time, you know, okay, I've had enough. This life has been a little tough, but I've had enough. And I've been eating better and I've been feeling better. But we got to let that Holy Spirit run our life.
Yes.
More than just when we're sick or down.
Right, right.
You know, I'm really looking forward, real quick, really looking forward to taking a class soon for facilitating grief support. Mm. And I've lost 2 children, and my family, my parents, my sister, and Jackie. Mm-hmm. And I just believe everybody and anybody can feel better. Right? If you know you're not alone.
Yeah.
You're just not alone. I go to Cornerstone for Hope, which Willie knows about, and Judy, but there's so much to offer people about grief.
Amen.
Instead of sadness.
Mm-hmm.
There's joy.
Amen.
Even though it doesn't make sense, there's peace and joy when you understand where God and Jesus fit in to the grief.
Yeah. Amen.
That's all.
Amen. That's great. I love it. That's good stuff. Mm-hmm. It is. Amen. Wow. Well, if you made that decision and you want to get a good start to that decision, there's a free booklet on the back. It said your first 21 days. Take one if you want as you leave. And it just helps you get started in the right path, basically, in relationship, not religion, because that's a big difference, just FYI. Okay, this week at ORC, happening this week, is the slide. There it is. Okay. The castle registration and funds are due today. So ladies, girls, if you're going to the castle, we need that information and money today. You can drop it in one of the offering boxes, or you can put it under the door of the administrator's office. Either one is fine. Tomorrow night, Awful March Monday at 7 p.m. and Wednesday Bible study at 7 p.m. So get plugged in beyond Sunday morning if you like. It's a good opportunity. Next week is Palm Sunday. Can you believe it? Oh, I'm looking forward to it. And we'll talk about the Son, His surrender. So go out in the lobby, have some fruit, some coffee, some bagels, some chats, and some time with the puzzle if you like. And have a great week. And if you are doing a station for Good Friday and you want to know where the station's going to be, your station, come and see me and I'll take you through the course. Okay? I do. Thank you. They're all filled. Yep, thank you. Okay, have a great week. Love you guys.